All right, there we go. Perfect. Good morning. It's really loud. I'm going to borrow this. So this morning, we are going to be talking about VBS, what the kids learned in VBS. Because we had the privilege of having the kids up here to do their song and dance and memory verse. But I figured we'd take the same journey as they did. While we wait for the computer to load here. So in the VBS, it was called the Himalayan Adventure, a journey in trusting Jesus. And we were really excited that we had quite a full house here. You can see the leaders in the pink on the both sides, and then all the kids and some people that acted like kids, and some, it was great. It was really wonderful. So I'm going to take you through the five lessons that they learned. And the first, and here's all five lessons on one page. So on Monday, they talked about the paralyzed man. We're going to revisit that. Tuesday, Jesus calms the storm. Wednesday, the Samaritan woman. Thursday, the centurion's servant is healed. And Friday, how to get to heaven. Okay. One thing I want to do to tie this together, make it a little more fun for us and for the kids, because they're still here. I want you guys to have some fun with us because you're still in the service. So we're going to talk a little bit about photobombing. Who knew what photobombing was already? Okay, good portion of us. How many kids, let's see your hands, kids. How many kids know what photobombing is? Nice, okay. That's most of you, actually. Well, let me explain what it is first. Photobombing is this, when a photograph has been spoiled or the composition has been changed by the unexpected appearance of an unintended subject in the camera's field of view as it was taken, like right when it was taken. That's what photobombing is. So that, I mean, that's technical, but probably more simply, you're wanting to take a picture and something unexpected happens, at least unexpected to you. For example, you're proposing to your wife and somebody kind of walks... and it's interesting because this is how photobombing first started. They're like, oops, didn't mean to do that. To somebody kind of showing a little bit of personality. You can't quite see it in this picture very well. There's two girls going, yeah, in front of a train. And the conductor's doing the same thing as the train goes by at 40 kilometers an hour. people start to photobomb as an expression of personality. Like this wonderful gentleman. ruining somebody's wedding photo, their engagement announcement. I think that's his brother, but always trust a younger brother to do that. So it was such a popular thing that even celebrities started getting in on it, and they don't even know who this is. This is Neil deGrasse Tyson, photobombing a couple of girls at college. Even people like Jimmy Fallon get in on it and have a good laugh and, you know, usually the subject doesn't know you're there. But now it's become a trend in culture where photobombing is starting to become kind of a fun thing that you kind of go with and participate in, like this wedding photograph. Yeah. And it's even gotten to the point where some major figures have started to do it as well. Including this one that you might recognize in the background. that's Queen Elizabeth, for those of you who don't know. In fact, it's even gotten so popular that nature has decided to get in on the action. And probably the most amusing one to me is the still unexpected photobomb of a stingray. So... because photobombing has become such a cultural icon, I want to encourage us to think about how what is the significance of photobombing in our lives? Because it's funny. So what I want you to do right now, you got your phone. Everyone says put your phone away in church. No, today I want you to get your phones out. Everyone get out your phone. And I want you to take a selfie. Now, for those of you that aren't digging for a phone... No, I'm serious. We got your phone. Grab it. Get it out. You don't have... Okay, so open up your Twitter, your Instagram, your Facebook. I don't care what it is. Load up your social media site. And I want you to use it to take a selfie. Now, if you don't have a phone in your hand, photobomb them. Get in the background. Seriously. Everybody get in the picture. Somewhere, get in the picture of somebody else's photograph. Make it so you can see the camera. I'm going to do the same. Okay. So now you've taken the picture. And take a minute to take one or two. Have some fun with us. I want you to post it to your social media. Tag the church. PG Bible Church, at PG Bible Church, or the Facebook page. And I want you to hashtag it, church selfie, or community, or church, or Ottawa church, or Ott church. And if you're worried about data usage, the Wi-Fi password's up there. And there's, now if you're on Facebook, there is a church Facebook community page. Post your selfie there with your hashtag. Get in the picture with me. Okay. So I'm just going to take a second here and post my picture with Hayden on the, and, well, Amy photobombed us. Okay, so why do we do this? You know, as Christians, we often become kind of Luddites. We're a little afraid of technology and new things and doing things differently. And if we're not intentional about having fun and understanding that the faith is fun and being connected with everybody in the church and in the next generation, well, we just start to kind of drift apart. We stop having that connection. Okay, so after the service, you're going to be able to see each other's pictures, and it'll trend on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and you'll be able to see some of other people's posts. So why do we do this, though? Because, one, it's important to connect generationally. It's important to embrace new technology and understand how we can use it, doing things like this, to advance not only people's awareness of church, but awareness of community and the gospel and how these things are meaningful and relevant in their lives. Because you post your picture, well, who's that in the background? Who's that other guy in your background? Who is that? Who is he to you? Why is she there? Because, so for all of us kids here, when we were at the VBS, we learned about these five stories, right? But what the kids didn't know is, did you know through every last story someone was in the background? Did you know who was in the background of all those stories of the miracles that Jesus was doing and talking to the Samaritan woman and healing the paralyzed man? Do you know who's in the background? I'll give you a hint. His name was Peter. Peter was almost like photobombing Jesus the whole time. So just as you were going through the VBS content learning about Jesus and how Jesus does these amazing things, so was Peter. And it comes back to, I was gonna give away treats for doing the memory verse, but you guys ruined that. So we'll save our treats for the end, for the kids, and those that act like kids. So the memory verse was, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Is that the memory verse, Hayden? Is that the memory verse? Is that right? Okay, good. Yeah, that's right. 3, 5, 6, and 7. Thank you. So for those of you who are sharp, if you can remember the memory verse, you might get a treat at the end. So on Monday, where Jesus went to deal with a paralyzed man, did you know just before that, Jesus called Peter. He went out to Peter. Peter was fishing, and he had been out all night. He hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus shows up and goes, "Hey, Peter, hey, throw the net on the other side of the boat." And if you're a fisherman, you're like, "Throw the net on the other side. That's a good one." Look, do you think the 8 feet or 4 feet is going to make a difference? I threw the net here, there's no fish. I'm not going to throw the net here and get a whole bunch of fish. Come on, give me a break. So Peter's like, "Yeah, sure, okay, Mr. Non-fisherman carpenter guy, sure." So he, instead of throwing the net, he's like, "Sure, well, okay, yeah, well, sure." Throws the net, and it's just such a huge catch of fish. There were so many fish, the boat was sinking. So he called his friends over and said, "Help me with this, help me with this." And Peter starts hauling in the nets, and they all haul it in, and almost three boats start sinking from this catch. And if you remember the lesson from Monday, the healing of the paralyzed man, the message is that Jesus forgives. And Peter learned that in this moment. Peter, in his pride, thinking that he knew everything, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and does this miracle, and he goes, "Oh, I'm a sinner. I don't have it right." And so Jesus says, "Peter, come with me. You think you know how to fish? Well, I'm going to teach you how to catch people." And so the first photo bomb for, like, right after that, the paralyzed man is like the next story. Jesus heals the paralyzed man, and Peter's standing there going, "How did he do that? That's incredible. That's more amazing than my fishing story." And you know how fishing stories go, right? But anyways, so trust Jesus, he forgives. That was the first day's lesson, and Peter learned that. So then Tuesday we learned about Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus calmed the storm. And it was the story where all the disciples were in the boat. Who remembers this one from Tuesday? What happened, Aiden? They're getting on a boat, and Jesus is starting to get tired, and yeah, Jesus says, "Oh, guys, it's fine." And he has a nap, and he's sleeping, and everybody starts panicking, and what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And it just stopped. And they were just amazed at him, weren't they? They're like, "Who is this guy?" Well, you know what? Again, you know who was in the boat? Jesus. And who was behind him in the boat? Who was photobombing? Peter. Peter was behind him. So guess what happened with Peter? Two chapters later, they're all on a boat again, and there's a crazy storm, and Jesus isn't with them this time. He's walking on the water. And all of a sudden, Peter remembered, Jesus is master of the storm. And so, Jesus gives peace to the storm. So what did Peter do? He got out of the boat and started walking on water. And he started sinking. Why? He took his eyes off Jesus. He lost his peace. And so he started to sink. Because, yeah, Jesus helped him up. Because Jesus, who is our peace, he doesn't just give peace, he is peace. And that Jesus pulled him up out of the water. On Wednesday, we learned about the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. That's right. Every morning and afternoon, people would go to get fresh water. Okay, and Jesus was there at lunchtime, and he said, "Give me a drink of water," right? If any other kids want to join us up here to kind of help give me answers, that'd be really awesome. Adrian, you can come join us. Come on. Okay, so... okay. So Jesus is there with the Samaritan woman, and Peter comes back, and he sees Jesus having this conversation with the Samaritan woman. He's like, "What the heck, Jesus? You're talking with a non-Jewish woman in public, alone? This is not cool." And Jesus says, "No, Peter, you don't get it. Peter, you don't get it. Her response was, this guy told me everything that I did. He knows me. He knows everything. He's the truth. He doesn't just know the truth. He is the truth. And sure enough, you know what happened with Peter? He heard this, and a couple chapters later, trust Jesus, he's the truth. And a couple chapters later, Jesus is talking about what it means to follow him. And in verse 60, it says, when many disciples heard his teaching, specifically about sharing his life and purpose and objectives in life, which he uses communion language for. He says, when many of his disciples, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that disciples were grumbling and complaining about this, he said, why do you take offense? What if you were to see me going back to heaven? If the Spirit gives life, the flesh doesn't matter. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life, but there's some who don't believe. And Peter says, Lord, people start turning away, and Jesus turned to Peter and said, Peter, are you gonna leave too? And Peter said, no. Yeah, actually he did say no. He said, where else can we go? You alone have the words of life. You alone know the truth. You alone are the truth. Peter learned the lesson of the story of this woman at the well. So on Thursday, we talked about how Jesus healed the centurion's servant. What happened there? This guy was running. A soldier was running to Jesus. Yes, the soldier, he wasn't doing well, right? And so the centurion said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house to heal him. Just, I have servants, and I tell them to go, and they do it. I just command it, and it happens. And Jesus was very proud of him, because he says, yeah, I don't have to be there to heal someone. I just have to want it, and it happens, because he's God. And so the centurion learned the lesson of trust Jesus, he's powerful. Well, Peter learned the same lesson. Did you know that? Peter was there. And Peter learned a lesson. Several months later, years later, Peter was walking by. He was with one of the other disciples, and they were walking back into Jerusalem. And you know what happened? They came across a guy that had been a cripple. He had been unable to walk his whole life. I don't know if he could see or not. But he couldn't walk. No, he could see. He was begging. He could see Peter. And Peter said, look at me. And the guy looked at him and went, ooh, you're going to give me some. And Peter said, I have nothing. Gold and silver, I've got enough. But in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Peter had learned to trust Jesus because Jesus is powerful to bring healing in life. And so that was Thursday. And then what was the last lesson on Friday? Trust Jesus, he's the Savior. It was the story of the rich young man. And you know what? Sure enough, what is it? That's the first one. That was Monday, yeah. That was Monday's lesson, the paralyzed man. But what was the rich young ruler, the rich young man? What did he say? He came and he was following the law. He came to Jesus. Yeah.
Choices to either go with all his money or go with Jesus, and he went and he thought that his money was more important.
Wow. So the man was sad. He went away sad because Jesus told him to give away all his money, and he couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He chose his money instead of Jesus. You know, and this is a hard lesson. This is a hard lesson for anybody. Anytime we put something more important than Jesus, we run into a lot of heartache. Trust Jesus. He's the Savior, not money. But you know what? Where we stop that story, the next verse. Did you know it's the next, like right there? Peter sees this happening, sees the guy walking away. And then he says, whoa, hold on, Jesus. Whoa, okay, yeah, he's leaving, but hold the phone, buddy. He says, Jesus, look, we've left everything to follow you. Like, you're telling him to leave money, but we did that, didn't we? Aren't you happy with us?
Yes.
Yeah. And Jesus is Jesus loves you whether or not you choose money over him. Jesus loves you whether or not you choose sin over forgiveness, anger instead of peace, resentment instead of trust. It doesn't matter what you choose. Jesus' love for you is no different, ever. The difference is whether or not you get to experience that relationship and love. So Peter pipes up and he says, but we've left everything to follow you. And you know what Jesus said to him? Here's what Jesus said. Truly I say to you, Peter, with this guy walking away, and Peter going, what's in it for us? Jesus turns to Peter and he says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or land or anything for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who were first will be last. Because sometimes choosing faith means losing closeness to people that you love. Because they don't want that too. And it's hard. But God gives us mothers and brothers and sisters. God gives us home and family and community. So when we're talking about photobombing from our lessons, trust Jesus, he forgives. He gives peace. He's the truth. He's powerful. He's the Savior. And you know, Peter learned these lessons. Because Peter, the initial photobomber, the guy standing in the background of every scene, Peter learned that everything you could possibly lose, God already gives you in the church, in community. And you know, you don't know what that's going to result in someone's life, what that's going to do for someone's life. You never know the role of the photobomber in your life. Because guess what the role of Peter was? Peter was one of the pillars of the church. If it weren't for Peter, the faith of some of the disciples wouldn't have survived through the persecution. Peter knew what it was to betray Jesus and yet still love him. Peter learned the memory verse from the VBS. Peter learned to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to not depend on your own understanding, to seek his will in all that you do, and to trust that he'll show you which path to take. Peter used to say, was so impressed with himself that he's like, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was impressed with himself, and Jesus goes, Peter, you're not really that special, buddy. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord, respect, have value, cherish the Lord, and turn away from evil. So if you haven't finished your little photobomb, please finish it. Think about the role of the person in the background. Who are they to you? And what can they be to you? Because if Jesus had Peter in his background and was connected to Peter in the background, and it turned Peter from being kind of arrogant and having foot and mouth disease, and turned him from being a bit of a braggart and an impulsive guy into kind of a gentle, compassionate leader of the church who, when Paul called him on his garbage and said, "Peter, what are you doing? You're being a hypocrite." Peter took it and he said, "Yeah, you're right, Paul. You're right." Peter learned to follow and to trust. And so that's our lesson for today. To trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all that you do, and he'll guide you on the right path. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Turn away from evil. I missed part. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So, if you're listening online, you're not here in church, I'm sorry, you're going to miss out on half the fun of photobombing and of taking pictures and being in the church and laughing and seeing some of these answers. But please consider joining us if you're only listening. But for those of us who are here, how can you build that stronger connection with the person in your photobomb, in your picture? Because I'm willing to bet the person that doesn't have the social media has a treasure trove of wisdom and love and care to offer you, if you let it. Because they themselves have walked a long time with Jesus. They have been photobombing Jesus and have learned quite a lot. So, from the rules of the VBS, we have our concluding points for community. If you're going to photobomb or someone's your photobomber, stay attached. Stay connected. Signal for help. Pray. Stay alert. Be vigilant. Because sure enough, do you think the devil wants you to have good friends and to trust God? No. So stay alert. Because you know there's things that want to derail that. And most importantly, conquer together. So this is our VBS. Yeah. And our lesson is to trust in confidence. Be confident, not in us, but in Jesus. Because that's the message. So for those of you that, kids, you've done an amazing job. Let's give the kids a hand for doing so well today. Thank you very much. On our way out, there's freezies for all the kids and those that act like kids. So, thank you.